This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We had been talking a little bit about how the left was won. They will spare no expense. They will never, they can't stoop too low. There's no such thing if they are fighting for a just, virtuous cause. And they have several right now in front of them, if you haven't noticed. Every day there is a new thing that confirms why they need to be vicious, some of them, vicious and extreme in their political pursuit. Now, we had mentioned climate change, and I do want to play one cut here that escaped me yesterday, and I'm upset about this. I can't believe I missed it. This was a White House climate advisor, Gina McCarthy, and she's essentially bragging about how the fossil fuel industry is losing jobs. Keep this in mind when Joe Biden and other people try to tell you that they were never trying to demonize the oil industry, that it's not their fault that the oil industry isn't producing as much as they would like. It's not their fault that because of their rhetoric, investors were kind of chilled from investing in the oil industry. That has nothing to do with them. Keep that in mind when someone like Gina McCarthy is taking a victory lap over the fact that the fossil fuel industry is losing jobs. Cut 9, please, Jared.
We have opportunities now to transfer to clean energy in a way that grows thousands of jobs. Mm-hmm. We just had a recent report that was put out that's showing all of the energy and the employment stats from last year. Clean energy is winning. Fossil fuels losing jobs. We are gaining them every step of the way.
Yeah, and they're gaining jobs, and Energy Secretary, or as Karine Jean-Pierre likes to call her, Senator Granholm, was also on TV. She was on Fox 11 LA, and she was explaining how, you know, she might not have a magic wand to lower gas prices, but there's plenty of jobs out there. It's almost as if, Jared, all of these women especially, are these Democrat women, are in a competition for who can seem the most like Marie Antoinette. And it's tight. It's a tight race. Every day, a new person takes the lead. I'm like, Nancy Pelosi's got the lead. Oh, no. Here comes Granholm up the side. She's saying things that really, really make her seem like an elitist, a sophisticated, out-of-touch elitist. I think Granholm's going to win this one. Let's have cut 5.
Yeah, for sure. They're advertising all over for jobs, and it's all kinds of jobs for all kinds of people. So it could be whether you're a lineman working on adding transmission, whether you're building the batteries for electric vehicles, whether you're assembling those vehicles, whether you're putting up solar panels on people's houses, whether you're building those solar panels, whether you're putting up wind turbines. There are jobs all over the place, and California created the most amount of clean energy jobs in 2021. This was the report that we had. And you've got almost 400,000 Californians who are working in zero carbon technologies. In fact, the energy sector last year grew faster than the overall economy. It grew by about 4%. The jobs in the rest of the economy grew by about 2.8%. And this is only going to continue as we in this country, but also around the world, there's a demand for these clean energy products. We want them made in America, stamped made in America, use them here, export them elsewhere. And that's why the president is focused on building out the supply chains here in this country.
No, that's nice. I have a question. Are the electric vehicles, Jared, they require batteries, right? Do you need the batteries?
They do, I've been told.
Are the batteries made in America?
I mean, according to Energy Secretary Senator Granholm, they have to be.
Yeah, she...
The minerals must exist here.
She's very excited about all these jobs in California. That's really great to know. I'm sure that will make people feel a lot better. And if that doesn't make people feel a lot better, then Brian Deese, who's another advisor for Joe Biden. There's no shortage of advisors. There's a shortage of a lot of other things. Gas, food, baby formula, chips, both potato and the electronic kind you need in cars. There's a lot of shortages, but there's no shortage of egghead advisors that are helping Joe Biden come up with a plan. Brian Deese was on TV yesterday, and he said something that really concerned a lot of people on the internet. This is cut four. He's talking about how high gas prices are. Now, keep in mind, Joe Biden has said, and he reiterated this yesterday, that he's trying to create a link, because all the Democrats have here, and I'm sorry if I'm getting too broad, but I do think this plays into it. All the Democrats have is emotion. And they need to tie emotion into every single argument, because they can't base it off facts. They can't base it off a persuasive logic. So they have to base it off emotion. So the new emotion is, yes, you're paying higher gas prices, but you have to because it's for the good of the world. We're supporting Ukraine. And you can't be upset about it because it's Putin's fault. And if we don't fight Putin, then we're giving in to authoritarianism. We're giving in to this giant bully. And if we're going to stand for freedom, do I sound like I'm pushing propaganda? Well, I'm just trying to keep up with what they're telling us. And another part of this, before we play Brian Deese, Jared, that struck me, I was driving into work today. Remember when Russia first invaded Ukraine? Or as Joe Biden told us, Ukraine invaded Ukraine. Either way, however you want to slice it. When that started, Joe Biden was telling us that we are going to really... put the screws to Russia, and we're going to make it so unbearable for them that they collapse, basically. You know, we're going to put a stranglehold on their economy. They're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And that's the price that they'll have to pay for these decisions. And throughout the last couple of months, I will say our economy has gotten weaker and weaker and weaker, and people are struggling. And now Joe Biden's saying, well, we'll keep doing this forever. But I'm just a little bit concerned, because when he was talking tough at the beginning of this, it was that we were going to be in charge and we were calling the shots and we were going to kind of hold them accountable. And they've seemed to be surviving this chokehold for a very long time. And meanwhile, now when we ask him about our economy, he's like, well, you know, what are you going to do? Ice cream. That's just something I noticed. So this is Brian Deese. Let's play him. He was on TV yesterday, cut four.
What do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years? This is just not sustainable.
Well, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm. But at the same time, what I'd say to that family and to Americans across the country is you have a president administration that is going to do everything in its power to blunt those price increases and bring those prices down.
So now we are defending the future of the liberal world order. Do you think that as far as priorities go for this administration, do you think maybe they should put some other things above that? Like, maybe we work on us first, you know? Maybe we're a little less concerned about the future of the liberal world order, considering you guys couldn't find your way out of a paper bag. Do you think maybe you should limit the scope of your what you intend to accomplish? Maybe we could just zero in on a few things. The God complex of all of these people. Like, you would think things were going so well the way they talk about it. You would think they're just nailing every single thing on their agenda. Check, check, check. Maybe they are. That's even scarier. Maybe in their minds, they're like, hey, you know, another thing, another one bites the dust. Here we go. We're just killing it. Let's move on. It's crazy to me. And if we're going to talk about if we're going to talk about the liberal world order, if we're going to talk about the economy, if we're going to talk about global warming and all these important issues, I should play a cut from our senator here in Massachusetts. No, not Elizabeth Warren. We'll get to her later in the show. But let's play a little bit of Mr. Frosty Ed Markey. This is Cut 13.
Well, this is an historic evisceration of the authority of the EPA to regulate greenhouse gases. Our country and the planet is right now suffering from a four-alarm fire. The planet is running a fever. There are no emergency planets. We have to put it into preventative care. And what the Supreme Court said today is that the EPA is going to be stripped of their authority to put in place the measures that can reduce the danger that greenhouse gas pose to our planet and to the well-being of everyone in our country.
Hold on. What the Supreme Court is saying is that the EPA needs the approval of Congress to make these sweeping rules based off the whims of what Ed Markey thinks is important. That is what the Supreme Court did. But I love that he's still running with the planet has a fever. He reminds me of the guy you always play from SNL. The one Will Ferrell played about the how many hot dogs?
Oh, Harry Carey.
Harry Carey, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no preventing. He's taking the planet has a fever, which is one of his favorite expressions. He said that years ago, and he keeps saying it. Now he's going one step further. We need to put it on preventative care and all these things. Maybe we just drop the analogy. We get it. We get the point.
The most bonkers thing about that cut for me is you are the man who is signaling the alarm. You're sounding the alarm. They literally gave you the power to make the laws. And now you're complaining that somebody else isn't making the laws.
It's too much democracy. It's too much.
I don't get it. It's like, you know, no. You have to take charge of how you spend your money.
Well, it makes sense, Jared, when you really think about it, that Ed Markey would be upset about that because he spent all this time trying to become a senator and his first vote as a senator was present. So it makes sense that he's going, this is too much responsibility for me. You guys need to tell the EPA what to do. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth and your smile. But what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel, and that helps every aspect of your life. Every interaction you have daily. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of life becomes a lot easier. I love Perfect Smiles. I get my teeth clean there. Lori is the best. If you go and visit them, say hi to Lori for me. Stephanie, Dr. Bruce Houghton, it's just a great team there. They make you feel like a VIP. They love what they do, and you can tell when you're there. So they're located off of Route 3. They have plenty of parking, and you can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. When we get back, I want to take a trip down memory lane. One of the texters reminded me that Good Morning America, they made a mistake when they said, a mistake, yeah, I know, it's laughable, but they said that Ketanji Brown Jackson was the first Black Supreme Court justice.
Amazing, until 19... 19-
and so we're going to save that. We have a throwback that one of the texters reminded me of. This mistake has been made quite a few times. 844-500-4242. Be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We had mentioned earlier, if you didn't see this, that Good Morning America finally deleted their tweet praising Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson as the first Black Supreme Court justice. Can you spot the mistake? A lot of people could. No one at Good Morning America could, though, for 5 hours, but they finally deleted it. She is officially the third Black person to sit on the Supreme Court. I guess whoever's running the Twitter account at Good Morning America forgot about Thurgood Marshall and also Clarence Thomas. They forgot. A lot of air quotes I'm using today. They forgot about them. And it's pretty despicable that it not only was ever tweeted out, but that it stayed out for that long. But it's not the first time this mistake has happened. Let's take a trip down memory lane, please, Jared, if you don't mind.
I thought I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
Thank you to the texter. Thank you to the texter who pointed this out, because I had completely forgotten this. This was Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor. And again, maybe if you listen real closely, you can spot an error in what he's saying. Let's take a listen.
And amazing, until 1981, this powerful body, the Supreme Court, was all white men. Imagine. America wasn't all white men, 1981, or ever.
And neither was the Supreme Court. Actually, it's funny you should say that, Chuck. It makes you feel better, though. Because, you know, when you're in front of a microphone for 3 hours or 4 hours a day, you make some mistakes. But the fact that these people have been in politics for way longer than I've been alive, and they make these mistakes, usually reading off of scripts or speeches, is bonkers. He obviously forgot about Thurgood Marshall, who served on the Supreme Court from 1967 to 1991. He was there in 1981, the year that he's referring to. But don't worry, Chuck Schumer doesn't have to say he's sorry, because he's a liberal. And so that's all okay. That's all good. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Grace Curley Show store. We have so many great things, and all you have to do is go to gracecurlyshow.com, including a $200 voucher to a holiday vacation condominium in West Yarmouth on Cape Cod for just $100. That's half off. Get your voucher today at gracecurlyshow.com and click store. I think these will go really quickly, so I would hop on this right now. gracecurlyshow.com to get your $200 voucher for the condominiums in West Yarmouth for just $100. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
What's the best part of the barbecue? Hot dog, hamburger, cold beer, sides, or ice cream?
I love a cold beer in the summertime, and I'm going to go with cold beer, I think. But I'm torn, because I do love a hot dog. I'm surprised you didn't put pork chops or sliced cheese or beans.
You look like the 4th of July. Makes me want a hot dog real bad.
Or the plate of ground beef. But I don't think we're going to be seeing that tweet.
64 slices of American cheese.
Does anyone remember that tweet from last year where the Biden administration was bragging about the 16-cent reduction in the July 4th BBQ? And there is a stipulation with that 16 cents. You'll save 16 cents on your barbecue, they told us, if the things you're buying are these weirdo things that no one buys on July 4th.
Here's a skillet of hamburger, kids. America!
Here's a bunch of slices of cheese and a gallon of ice cream. Now, thank us for your 16-cent saving. Well, now they can't do that, because I think it's up 17%.
Yes.
So they're not going to be able to pull that one on
us. I saw a tweet that breaks out, 17% breaks up to about $10.18.
Well,
per year.
Jared, here's the thing. If we're saving 16 cents, then we should be throwing parades in the street, because that 16 cents, every little bit counts. Context matters. I'm going to explain this to you. Every little bit counts when you're saving money. If you're losing $10, or if you're paying $10 more, it's just $10. Don't worry about it.
It's the price we're willing to pay for the liberal world order.
Yeah, it's like the tragedy of the treadmill. It's a first world problem. Don't worry about it. It's $10. You weren't going to do anything with that anyway. Honestly, Jared, you probably will have to buy lentils or something cheaper, and it will make you make good choices.
I'm holding out for the designer crickets that are coming my way.
You're holding out for a hero to the end of the night.
Hamburger is in the lead, 36%, 30% for cold beer, 18% for a hot dog, 13% for sides, and 4% for ice cream.
And you know what else?
I want a double-dipped waffle cone with vanilla chocolate chip.
Jared, can I have cut 14? Because there's something else that's going up in price. We might talk about this in the 2 o'clock. This could very well affect July 4th.
Customers are getting ready to celebrate July 4th.
I usually buy $500 to $700 worth of fireworks.
But this year, amid inflation and supply chain difficulties, the cost of fireworks is soaring.
They've gone up probably in the neighborhood of 10 to 15% this year over last year's increase, which is probably another 10%. So in the last couple of years, you're probably talking about 25%.
Again, I'm going to explain it to you in Biden terms. This is going to allow you to make better, safer, more responsible choices this Independence Day. Say thank you, Mr. Biden. We'll be right back with Darby O'Morrow. We're going to talk about Rex Chapman, Clarence Thomas, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. It's Friday. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I was, I shouldn't say I was surprised by Rex Chapman's attacks at Twitter attacks at Clarence Thomas that he was putting out last night, because I'm never really that shocked when a blue check liberal, a virtuous liberal, starts attacking Clarence Thomas. But even so, and even for Rex Chapman, these tweets were pretty terrible. Joining us now to discuss this is Darby O'Morrow. He's you can find him on Twitter at D the Kingpin. He's the co-host of Outlaws Radio. He's a contributor to Newsweek and so many other outlets. Darby O, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Darby, there are so many responses to Rex Chapman, and a lot of people were very upset with what he said. Let's break this down for the listeners. Can you kind of explain to my audience what point he was, I guess, trying to get at last night?
Well, essentially what he was saying in a nutshell through that word vomit that he put up on Twitter was basically insulting Clarence Thomas's blackness and questioning his authenticity as a black man. That's largely, in a nutshell, that's basically what he was doing. It's a bunch of garbage that he put up there. If anybody wants to go read the individual tweets, they can. But in a nutshell, that's what he did.
Yeah, and the one that stuck out to me before I had seen the photos that he put up of Clarence Thomas and his wife, who's white, and Clarence Thomas is black, he put up with this montage of photos of the two of them. But before I saw that, I was taken aback by his tweets about the NBA, that Clarence Thomas had never been to an NBA game. And that was, you know, that kind of disqualified him from being a champion for black people. Can you, what's your reaction to that, Darby?
I'll try to say this quickly. You know, I heard a black pastor once say white supremacy is white people defining your reality and then forcing you to live under that definition. And that's what this is. Who the hell does Rex Chapman think he is that he can define the standard of who is and isn't black? You can disagree with Justice Thomas's judicial philosophy, but that's not what he did. He attacked his blackness. The way you vote does not give you a get-out-of-racism-free card. No party has a monopoly on racism. There are racists in both parties. But with white progressives, they claim to be against white supremacy while at the same time they are perpetuating. When Clarence Thomas was growing up in the segregated South, he was a black man. When Condoleezza Rice lost her childhood friends because the Klan blew up a church with her friends in it, she was a black woman. When Herman Cain had to teach himself how to cut his own hair because he lived in a segregated town and the only barbers were white and they refused to cut his hair, he was a black man. How dare you? How dare you? It's all about power. They don't give a damn about white supremacy. They perpetuate it. They don't care about systemic racism. You know why they don't care about systemic racism? Because the vast majority of the systems that black people complain about are controlled by them. Ain't no Republican judges in black cities. Ain't no Republican prosecutors in black cities. Progressives control the schools in black cities. But they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about how they profited from black pain. So all they want to do is do foolishness like this and act like they are the arbiters of what is and isn't sufficiently black.
Yeah, and I was really moved, Darvio, by your Twitter thread, especially when you said you think that because you have a Black Lives Matter sign in your yard that gives you the right to say foul bleep to Black people who disagree with you, it's the height of hypocrisy, privilege, and supremacy to deem yourself the one that defines what is and isn't Black. And we saw this, Darvio, just to go back in time here a little bit, with Joe Biden when he told Charlemagne the God, if you don't vote for me, then you ain't Black. This is something that has been very prominent in the Democrat Party.
And so for people who are listening to this who may not, you know, engage in these type of conversations, you know, all the time, this is something that has white progressives in particular have been doing this for a long time. It's just within the last few years, it's been more blatant and more aggressive. They don't even try to hide it anymore. They used to dog whistle it. If you remember when Joe Biden was vice president, and running for re-election in 2012, and he said Mitt Romney, who everybody loves now, he said Mitt Romney is going to put y'all Black back in chains. Like, he has a history of doing this stuff. Never mind the fact that he actually started his career with segregationists. Never mind the fact that he authored not only the 94 Clinton crime bill that everybody complains about, but also the crack laws in the 80s. He's the modern author of every issue that Black people have with the criminal justice system. Joe Biden did that. So the fact that he could stand there and white progressives in general and say the things that they say, like we owe you. We don't owe you a damn thing. If anything, the Democratic Party and progressives owe us everything because they can't get elected anywhere in this country without Black people.
Yeah, and there was another tweet, Darvio. I'm speaking with Darvio Morrow. I know that the text line's blowing up with people saying, this guy's awesome. Who is he? You can follow Darvio on Twitter at DTheKingpin. There was another tweet here that I want to get your reaction to. Rex Chapman put up a photo. This is kind of how the whole thing started. He put up a video of Clarence Thomas with all these graduates, and he pointed out that Clarence Thomas was the only Black man, and everyone else in the photo or the video was white. And he said, I think the thing I think is most funny about this is that these white kids and their parents view this as their entry into Black America, mocking these white kids for being, you know, excited to take a picture with Clarence Thomas. How do you react to that?
I think that's absurd. I think it's absurd. And it's if we just like if this was 50 years ago, you would have thought a segregationist said that. Like, not only the tweets that he made about the video, but him pointing out that Clarence Thomas is in an interracial marriage. Like, those are things that Klan members used to say that. Like, Klan members used to say that stuff. So it's like, what do you... I'm just... The sheer racism and the arrogance to believe that you can... That you don't see anything wrong with that. You see nothing. He sees absolutely nothing wrong with that. I guarantee you he doesn't understand why people are so upset. Because he thought he could, I think you're around my age. If you remember the Chappelle show when Dave Chappelle did the Rick James skit and Rick James came in Eddie Murphy's house and put his feet on his couch. That's what this guy is doing. He thinks that he's so comfortable with Black people that he can walk in our house and put his muddy feet on our couch. It's he has no idea how racist the things that he's saying actually are.
Yeah, and there's another part of that tweet that sticks out to me. He says, you know, they view this as their entry into Black America. Now, I'm just putting myself in the shoes of one of these graduates. If I see Clarence Thomas, I think, wow, I'm getting a picture with a Supreme Court justice. Never would it cross my mind, hey, maybe this is my entry into Black America, whatever that means. But it really shows you how he thinks of it. If Clarence Thomas came over to him, that's where his mind goes. Oh, they think this is their entry into Black America, as opposed to, wow, these graduates are really excited that one of the greatest Americans and greatest Supreme Court justices is taking a photo with them. I mean, it gives you an insight into how his mind works.
It's classic projection, because that's what they do. We all know, everybody who's listening to this show, everybody in America knows at least that one woke, privileged white liberal who has one Black friend that they went to Ivy League school with, and that means that they think they're a full authority on the Black experience in America.
Yep.
We all know somebody like that. That is So it's classic projection. They say that because that's what they do.
You're absolutely right, Darvio, and you're also right that he's not going to, I'm sure he's not going to apologize. He was proud of this. He thought that he was giving a lot of insight and that he was really, you know, summarizing what's wrong with Clarence Thomas. And this was, you know, a really great way to get at Clarence Thomas and his integrity when all he did was expose how his mind works. I think you're right on the money with that.
Absolutely. He exposed the fact that the people that he's calling racist, and he thinks he's doing, once again, he thinks he's attacking white supremacy when in actuality he is perpetuating it. And he has no idea because he's too arrogant and too stupid and too culturally unaware. Just because you got a couple black friends doesn't mean that you're incapable. And because you vote what you think is the right way, that doesn't mean that you're incapable of participating in white supremacist behavior, which is exactly what he was doing. White supremacy does not always come in tiki torches and white polo shirts. Sometimes white supremacy looks exactly like what he's doing.
Yeah, and Darvio, one last thing here I want to point out, and this is one of my favorite parts of your Twitter thread, which I know a lot of people are going to right now to see your response to this. But you talk about within the black community how there are black liberals and black conservatives and all of all different political persuasions and how black people disagree and they have debates. And yeah, sometimes it gets ugly when they disagree, but that you don't appreciate this idea that it's monolithic and that everyone thinks the same way and everyone votes the same way.
That's absolutely right. If you look at Pew Research, which does really good work on the black community specifically, but just on racial groups and demographic groups in general, you know, almost 70% of African Americans self-identify as either moderate or conservative. Black liberals are the minority in our community. And anybody who knows black people in real life, who's ever spent any significant amount of time in the black community, they know that. So for a lot of these white progressives, a lot of these white liberals, what they think, just because a black person may be a Democrat, that does not automatically mean that they're a liberal. And it damn sure doesn't mean that they're a progressive. Because once again, those are the minority in our community. The majority of black people are either moderates or conservatives. So the fact that you have these white progressives who think they're standing up for us, they have that white savior and white superiority complex, and they think that they are the arbiters of what is and isn't sufficiently black, and they are the defenders of black people, while at the same time perpetuating that which they say they hate, shows exactly how racist and how disconnected and how out of touch they really are.
Darvio, you are the best. We love having you on the show. Please tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter, where they can listen to you, where they can read your work. Go ahead, give everyone your plugs.
Absolutely. Thank you once again for having me. I really appreciate that. You can follow me on Twitter at Dita Kingpin. That's DTHEKINGPIN. Subscribe to my show, The Outlaws Radio Show, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can read my work at Newsweek as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, sir. We hope to have you on again soon. We'll be right back with your calls. I think people are going to want to talk about this. It's 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. A lot more show to get to. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
America. America. May God thy gold refine.
I tweeted out today my favorite national anthem, which was by Whitney Houston in 1991, Super Bowl. And then I got a lot of responses from people who had their favorite patriotic songs, and we pulled some of them for the show today. So I hope you're enjoying them. I hope you're going to have a beautiful, happy, safe weekend. Enjoy some hot dogs, some hamburgers, some cold beer, and just be grateful that you live in the United States of America. It's a wonderful place to live. It can be crazy sometimes. It's been crazy the last couple of years, but it never stops being the best. And now what I want to talk about real quickly here, Jared, there was a cut. And I'm noticing this hesitancy on the part of Joe Biden. And at first I just thought it was his general demeanor, because he's definitely lost a step or two in the past couple of months. But specifically with Roe versus Wade, he waited a long time to come out and say, I want to do a carve out from the filibuster. I want to have an exception here and codify Roe versus Wade into law. I am starting to understand a little bit why. I think, and maybe it's not like his own personal feelings about abortion, which have, that's always kind of been back and forth with him. He is a devout Catholic. But The Atlantic has a piece, and it's titled, Is Biden a Man Out of Time? And I'm writing my own thing for The Spectator about abortion this week. And my editor sent me this because it's by Ronald Brownstein. And he says, Biden's embrace of the filibuster carve-out for abortion shows his incremental adaptation, however reluctant, to the modern combat between the parties. But will that be enough for Democrats desperately looking for leadership against a resurgent right that threatens to demolish everything they value? Okay, so it's The Atlantic, so you keep that in mind. But there is this hesitancy, and because of that, we saw Senator Elizabeth Warren coming out for putting tents on in national parks in red states that are outlawing abortion. We saw AOC, when referring to the EPA decision, saying that we need to abolish the Supreme Court. We've seen this kind of extremism, and it's almost like they get more extreme the more Biden tries to rein it back. And so Biden eventually decided to just go full boat when he was in Madrid and kind of give them what they wanted. But it was half-hearted at best, I thought. And this is another just line here from the Atlantic piece. After Biden's statement today, Ted Lieu tweeted that Biden has now shown strong leadership and many others in the party welcomed the announcement. But a former White House speechwriter for Bill Clinton noted the tension in Biden's remarks. And I noted that, too. As strong as that statement was, there was a sense that he had been backed into it. It followed days of Democrats calling on him to say something along these lines. And they're really hoping, as you could tell when he said vote, 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 that the Roe versus Wade decision and the subsequent uproar from it is going to be enough outrage that they can just ride that into the midterms. But I don't know if that will be the case. As Libby Emmons said yesterday on our show, people, as time goes on, the people who want to get abortions will be probably in blue states where they can get abortions. And there's also going to be, she didn't say this, but I'm going to add it in, there's going to be a lot of organizations that will help women travel to other states where they can get abortions. But the left is attempting here to get Biden to say something really extreme. And Kathy Hochul was talking to him today. We're going to get this cut for the next hour. But she said the same thing, that maybe you could set up abortion clinics or hospitals in red states on federal land. And this is something the White House has been pushing back on. But Democrats don't care. Whether or not Joe Biden's heart is in it doesn't matter anymore. He's a Trojan horse, and they're going to do whatever they have to do to appease the far left part of their base. And when it comes to this topic, I think John Hinderaker had it right, that whichever party decides to go more extreme on both sides, whoever decides to go more extreme is going to lose this one. 844-500-4242. We're talking fireworks and fun when we come back. Don't go anywhere.